You are listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 223, narration. Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of seven, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? Hello, friends. Exciting to be back. Excited to have a voice again. That was so rough recording last week. I was coughing so hard. I just had to hit pause and cough. And then I could get back on. So it was crazy. So super glad to being healthy again. So kind of crazy. That's what, whenever I get sick, it goes straight to my lungs. So I always got to figure that stuff out. Well, when this podcast airs, I will be living my homeschool dream. I will have my husband and all seven of our babies under one roof while we are playing in Hawaii. I have had a missionary out for the last 3 years because my two oldest boys overlapped. I get only a few weeks home with all my kids, and then my daughter will start her mission, and her brother is planning on starting next year, so I'll have another 3 years of a missionary out. So super exciting times, but also a little hard in my heart, too, because I really, really love my babies. So anyways, living it up this week. All right, today I want to talk about narration. This is something maybe you've heard the term and you're not quite sure what it is or why maybe you want to use it, what it could look like, all those types of things. And I wanted to talk about that today. So I started narrating, having my kids narrate years ago when I started studying about Charlotte Mason. And I have really, really loved it. And I want to teach you about what is narrating, why to use it, and how it looked like in my home and how it could look like in yours. So first, what is narrating? The simplest of explanations would be that narrating is telling something in your own words. Sounds super simple, right? But sometimes it can take some getting used to. So think of a skill that you can most likely do without even thinking, like probably tying your shoes. Then have you ever had to try to break it down and explain it to a child of how to do it? All of a sudden, it can take a simple task and make it a little bit more complex. So why bother with narrating? From Simply Charlotte Mason, it says, narration helps the student make it his own. It helps him cement that information in his mind. It helps the student know. That's why Charlotte Mason called this process the act of knowing. They must read the given pages and tell what they have read. They must perform, that is, what we may call the act of knowing. So narrating also teaches your child to be a better listener. If they are narrating something that you read, and it also helps them to remember what they read, be able to organize their thoughts, and then being able to tell someone about it. So let's see, my eyes are getting fuzzy. I'm getting old. I lost my spot. So narrating helps a child to actually remember what they read or what you read. I have personally loved having narrations as a part of our homeschool, and some of my darlings have even kept their narration books, even though they haven't homeschooled for several years, just because they love them so much. So I want to talk about to you ideas of how you can narrate. So narrating was an idea from, I don't know who was the original inventor of narration, right? But the idea is just repeating back something that you had said before. Charlotte Mason talked about that it helped the children to really know and to understand what it was that they were reading or studying. And now let's talk about how. So when I was first teaching my kids how to narrate, we started by sitting in a room all together and I read a few verses of scripture. Then I went around the room one by one and I had each kid say something that they remembered. So before we did this, I did let them know, like, hey, you're going to have to tell back something that I just read. So if I'm reading the scriptures, you're going to have to tell something back. But here's the thing. You can't copy what anybody else said. So if one person says, well, Jesus did this in this scripture, you can't say that either. You have to do something different, right? So just kind of teaching them the skill and kind of practicing. You can do it with a picture book, like we started with scripture, anything like that, that you can just kind of teach them that this is how you're doing it. You can even do this with artwork. And that's a fun one to do, of looking at a picture and then after so long putting it down, and you have to say something you remember about the picture. Like, there were 4 people in this picture. There were 10 rakes in this picture. The sunset was on the right side of the picture. Something like that, where they just really are starting to know and understand a picture. When I'm working with a younger child, or even when I'm teaching little kids in primary at church, I will read something to them, and then I will ask them to tell me something that they remembered. So it's been fun as we've done this, because George, part of his school is that he narrates back his scriptures to me. So we read scriptures together, Georgie and I do, and then he has to say it back to me. So it's been interesting as he and I do this, and then in primary class, I'm his teacher, and I will read a little storybook or something like that, that he's gotten really good at, like, oh, he listens knowing he has to say something back. And it completely changes, right? Because, like, all of a sudden you have this active listening of, like, I have to say something back. So teaching the other little kids there too, like, oh, when I read something, like, you're going to have to tell me something back, and it helps them to become better listeners as well. So it's kind of fun. So as my kids got the idea of narrating, and as they get older and they're doing independent work, they start doing their narrating on their own. So not done in a group anymore. And this is where I have a lot of free reign. So my children can narrate any way they want, but they won't actually show me until the next school day. So the only rule I had with narration is that you couldn't read a book and then come and tell me about it right then, because that was chaos, right? Can you imagine, like, 7 little kids and everybody's like, I finished a book, mom, I got to tell you what I read about. So I had to do something. That was the only rule I had, because you will always narrate to me the next day. So they had, like, so many creative things. Some of my kids made movies. Some of them record themselves talking. One of my darlings liked to write a paragraph or two about what he had read. A lot of my kids drew pictures, made a comic strips. One of my darlings got to the point where he could narrate the next day without having to write anything down. It was fun. My daughter Tess had a series of science videos called Science with French Fry and Friends. And French Fry was the name of a stuffed animal, and the friends were other stuffed animals. And they would, she would bring in animal guests out of music, make fun little videos about them and all about the science that she read. And that was super fun. Bella, my other daughter, she was like the comic queen, and she had made our family all dinosaurs. And we, like, as the family, it would be a full comic book series of, like, what she had read about, and our family would do it, right? So there's some hilarious ones when we were studying Greek, like ancient Greece, and fun things like that, where we all have togas on and just, I mean, hilarious different things like that. I used to have my kids read a set amount of time, like read for 10 minutes, narrate for 5 minutes, but I got rid of that pretty quick. I started it because some of my darlings would get a book and then just read the whole day, like one book, and not get to the other ones. So I was like, okay, I'll give you a time limit then. But I didn't like that, because I wanted them to learn how to manage their time and figure things out. And so they just know they have to read all their books. So if they spend a lot of time on one book, fantastic. If they're, like, short on another book, fantastic. They have, like, a cutoff time. All their books need to be read by a certain day at the end of the month or end of 6 weeks, something like that. So they kind of just can manage that themselves. And then their narration is as long or as short as they need to. So if they're drawing a picture, if they're writing, if they're making a movie, because, like, movies will take a lot longer, right? The idea is that they are just narrating what they read, because then they are reading with the intent to tell somebody back, and it completely changes how you do it. So when I meet with my kids the next day during Minute with Mom, they go over all their narrations with me. And that's when I check their math from the day before and language arts if I need to, and they go over all their narrations. Another perk of doing it that way is that I'm not waiting for them to finish. So let's say it's Monday morning, I've finished teaching, it's noon, and then I have kids still doing schoolwork. I don't maybe want to have all my kids come narrate to me at 4 or 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Like, I'm probably done. And so when they know that it's the next day, that they have all afternoon to finish their stuff, because they'll just tell me the next morning. So I have seen some really fancy narrations that are totally Pinterest worthy. And just so you know, mine have never looked like that. We are often, like, we are very real, and they're a lot of fun, and they're a good time in life. Kids have learned a lot, but they're definitely not going to be the Pinterest worthy type narration books. But if that is you and that speaks to your children, then by all means, do that. Narrations are just so fun because it brings up interesting discussions with my kids, not only helping them to understand better like what they're reading and all those things, but just the conversations that we have had, different things that maybe they didn't understand. Like, it talked about this. What in the world does that even mean? Right. So just really interesting conversations that we've had. Our narration books are just these cheap notebooks that at the beginning of the school year, Walmart usually sells these notebooks for 50 cents and I buy a ton of them and I just have a big stack. So when they finish their narration book, they go and grab another one. And those have worked really great for this, for us. So this year you may want to think about, if you're not already doing narration, you may want to add it into your homeschool. It has helped my kids have a better understanding of what they were studying. And it's been fun to watch some of my adult children keep this skill because it helps them to be more intentional with their learning and their studying. And it's been a lot of fun. So that's it for today. I'd love to hear or see any of your narrations that you do in your family or hear about some of the things that you've done. And I will talk to you next week. Hey, friend, if you enjoy this podcast, I know you are going to love my book I wrote. It's called 30 Days to Ease into Homeschool. This is for anyone, whether you are new to homeschooling or ready to take your homeschool to the next level. This is for you. It's available to download at www.coachmegthomas.com/shop.